This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes, the exercise of our faith pleases God, and except for the message of salvation, there is no more important a truth than this message of faith. Yet many Christians who know about and even exercise their faith are living a life far below what God's word promises. What is it about claiming something in faith that so many seem to be missing? In our series, Setting Higher Goals for Your Faith, Pastor Ray, taking a practical look at this issue, based on the Bible definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, concludes that faith, no matter how sincere, not coupled with a high level of hope, can only be a hopeless faith, accomplishing little. Understanding now how hope sets the goal and faith makes it a reality. Most would agree with Pastor that because Christians aren't dreaming big enough, they don't have a faith problem. They have a hope problem.
So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're talking about the subject of hope and how this interconnects with faith. And we take this from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And the writer of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So faith is the substance and it's the evidence, but it's the substance and evidence of our hope. Yes. I like to say it this way, that faith gives substance to our hope. Amen. So just to give you a little recap, you see, if you don't have hope, and we gave a definition of hope, right? How many of you remember my definition? You've been in this church, you know what it is, right? Hope is the joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come. It is not a negative word. In the world, a lot of people use hope in a very negative sense. I hope so. I hope things get better. There's nothing joyful, confident, favorably expecting in that kind of hope. That kind of hope is a hopeless hope, right? It has no true good end to it. It's sort of a wandering around, you know, getting tossed around, thinking that maybe it's going to turn out good, maybe it's not going to turn out good because I don't know. If you're grounded in the Word of God, you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, or you ought to, that for the Christian who is in faith, who knows how to operate in faith and knows their Word and can stand in faith and understands how faith operates, you know that only good is coming your way. Life is getting better, it's not getting worse. You should be on the upswing, right? Everything should be going up, not down. Because we understand that through our faith and by our faith, we can accomplish anything and everything. Anything you would ever need, want, or desire comes by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if faith doesn't have hope, faith doesn't know where to go. Now, I went through this last week, but I think I need to go through it again, because if faith doesn't have hope, faith doesn't know what to go after. Amen. You see, hope sets the goal or the destination. Now faith has something to accomplish. Now, I'll repeat this because, you know, I think it's important. You know, the thermostat and the furnace, right? They were created. They're two separate things. They're different, but they were created to work together. Right? You heard this last week, you hear it again. So you have the furnace in the basement or wherever your furnace is, and you have a thermostat in your bedroom or in your living room or maybe in both. And that furnace has the capacity to give you a desired temperature, whether it be summertime coolness or wintertime heat. Now that thermostat sets the goal. You tell the furnace what to accomplish by setting that thermostat to a desired temperature. If you neglect to set the temperature, the equipment that you have, your furnace, will just lie there dormant. It can't produce anything by itself. It's connected to the thermostat. The thermostat tells the furnace what to do. The thermostat tells the furnace what to accomplish. And this is how faith and hope work. Amen. Hope tells your faith what to go after. Faith sets the destination. Faith sets the goal. I'm sorry, hope sets the goal. Faith accomplishes it. But you see, just like that thermostat, if you don't set the goal, that thermostat, even though it's fully equipped, it's been built to create heat, to create air conditioning, but it doesn't know what to do until you tell it what to do by setting the thermostat. And one of the big things I think, and one of the big troubles in a lot of Christians' lives, people's lives, especially even faith people who ought to know better, our goals are not set.
That's right.
You're not telling your faith what to accomplish.
Amen.
You're not telling your faith where to go. You have to dream. You have to believe.
Yes.
You have to see the possibilities that there are in God and in His Word. And now you take those and you begin to set those as goals. And you say, Lord, I'm tired of being broke and poor, if that's your issue.
Amen.
And now you go to the Word and you see what God says about poverty, want, lack, and insufficiency. We know it's not of God. We see that God shall provide your needs.
Amen.
We see that prosperity is the reward of the righteous. We see promises from God that if you believe the word of God, that it'll come to pass in your life. We've been through many of these. So now, based on those promises, I begin to set a goal. I begin to say, I'm tired of being broke and poor. I'm tired of not having enough. Now I'm going to put the word of God into operation, and I'm going to set that as my hope. I'm going to put it out there and believe God now. That's my hope, that I'm coming out of debt, I'm coming out of insufficiency, I'm coming out of poverty. I believe the promise of God. I've got my hope now out there that a better day is coming. My joyful, confident, favorable expectation of things to come is that I'm coming out of poverty.
Amen.
Now, how God does that in your life is none of your business.
Amen.
Because this is where people really mess it up.
Right.
You see, because your hope, now listen, because this is really, really, really super important, and this is where people really mess it up. Your hope should not really be in a thing.
Amen.
Your hope should be in the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, I'll give you an illustration, and this is not a true story, this is a make-believe story, but it just illustrates the point. Where some people get messed up because they put their hope in a thing. They put their hope on a tangible thing, and your hope should never be on a tangible thing. Your hope should be on the Word of God and what God has said. So let me give you an illustration about how not to operate in hope, and I hope you get this. So let's say a man is working in a company, and he's been there a bunch of years. And all of a sudden, he hears about a promotion in that company. He's just a worker, and a management position opens up, and he wants the management position. And so he and his wife he goes back home, and they get back to the prayer closet, and they get on their face, and they say, oh, God, thank you, Lord. We believe that this job is ours. This management job, we believe that it's our job. And they start praying in this way. And their hope now is on that job. The hope is on that job, only that job.
That's right.
Now they've put their hope in a thing.
Yeah. There you go.
Their hope is no longer in the Word of God, what God says, but it's on a thing. Now your hope is on that thing, that's going to be my job. And you see what happens is there's a whole process going on, and different people are trying after that job, and this guy is just believing whatever his name is. We'll just give him a fake name. Johnny is just believing that this job is his, and he's putting his faith on that job, or putting his hope and his faith on that job. Well, time passes, and Johnny doesn't get the job. So now Johnny and his wife, Sally, Johnny and Sally go down the tubes with their faith, because they run back to church and they go to the pastor and say, we don't understand. We were believing God for that job and we didn't get that job. Our hope, our joyful, confident, favorable expectation is that we were going to get that job. And you see, a good pastor like Pastor Ray would turn to him and say, you made a big mistake. You put your hope in a job. Your hope should be in the Word of God. Your hope should be in the fact that God wants to prosper you. Your hope should be in the fact that God's going to provide your needs. You ought to put your hope in the fact that you are a child of the King, and that God will bring you to great places before great men, why are you putting your faith and putting your hope on a stinking job? You're looking to the management job when God's got in mind to make you the president of the corporation or moving you out of that job to something much better. That's why our hope should never be in a thing. It should be in the Word of God. God, this is my hope that I'm coming out of poverty. I'm coming into prosperity. I'm coming to a better place. Or whatever your situation is. Maybe it's not a money thing. Maybe it's some other thing. But whatever your situation is, God, I trust you by your word. My hope is in the Word of God. How you get me there, God, is solely up to you. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm obedient. And I will do whatever you lead me to do. My hope should never be in a thing. You see, my hope should always be in the Word of God. How God does it, when God does it, how He brings it to you. See, I've never put my hope in things. I just set my desires before God. Lord, this is my desire. This is what I would like. This is what I would like to see. I don't look at objects. I don't look at people. I don't look at anything. I simply look to the Word of God. My hope is in the Word of God, not on things, people, places, time. Often people do that. They put time frames. I'm believing God that in 6 months I'm going to be married. 6 months I'm going to be a millionaire. 6 months I'm going to be healed. 6 months I'm going to be this or be that or be the other thing. You're putting your hope in the wrong place. Your hope needs to be in the Word of God. God knows the desires of your heart. As a matter of fact, if you have those desires for godly things, God gave you those desires. He'll bring them to pass in the right time, in His right way. My focus is to keep my hope high by setting my hope on the Word of God. Setting my hope on the Word. Let me give you a verse, all right? Let me give you a verse. Let me get my verse. It says in Romans 15:4. Very key, important verse that highlights what I'm just saying. And Paul writes here to the Romans, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we," listen, "through," here is the word patience again, "through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Amen. See, because if you put your hope in people, things, your hopes are going to get dashed. Let me tell you what, honey, it's going to happen. Because I've been there, I've been down that road, and it's blown up in my face over and over and over again. Your hope needs to be in the Word of God, just like the Scripture says. All the things that were written before were written for our learning. We ought to be learning the Word of God. We ought to be growing in the Word of God, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. How God gets you there doesn't matter. Don't put your hope in that thing. Put your hope in the Word of God. That's why you need to know the Word. Amen. That's how faith operates. Well, that's probably one of the sessions we're going to do, is how to grow your faith. So here you see that hope in things is really a recipe for disaster. Yes. People put their hope on things and it usually blows up in their face. Now, please understand there's a difference. If you have a desire for something like a new car, a new set of clothes, a house, or whatever it be, though you have a right by the Word of God to pray for those desires and to believe for them.
That's right?
Yeah. Like if you're believing for, you're believing for, a Honda Civic, that's what you're believing God for. Well, you just stand on that and believe, because that's something tangible. That's something that's a desire of your heart. It's a tangible thing. But when it comes to the affairs of your life, when it comes to things like, getting a new job, don't put your hope in the job. Put your hope in the Word of God for prosperity for your life. And this is where you submit to God and you say, "Lord, if this is what you have for me, I'm ready for it. But if you have something better, or you have something greater, or maybe this is not my time, God, I submit that to you as well. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in the Word of God. My hope is not in a job. My hope is not in a person." That's another thing people do. You put your hope in people. Your joyful, confident, favorable expectation, or people are going to respond to you in the way that you think that they should respond to you, and you always come up short-handed. It doesn't work. Your hope should never be in what a person can do for you, or what a person should do for you, or what a person should mean to you. You know, I mean, outside of the marriage covenant, because there are expectations, but among friends, you can't ever, ever just think that, you know, put your hope in that person, because you're gonna be sorely disappointed. Your hope is in the living God. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. Your hope is in the Word of God. Just like this verse says, that we have the Scripture. We have the Scriptures. Through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, you might have hope. Your hope comes from God. People will disappoint you. All kinds of things will happen in the course of life. But if your hope is in the Word of God, your hope is going to stay strong, and your faith is going to stay strong, and your faith is going to accomplish great things.
Amen.
Great things. You see. People do that as well. I mean, I hate to go down this road because I don't want to bore you. I don't want to offend anybody, but I got to do what I got to do. Sometimes young people, old people, doesn't matter, single people, they put their hope on a person. They say, oh, God, you know, that's the person I'm going to eye somebody. And they put their hope in that person for marriage, and that may not be. If that person isn't responding in like kind, then your hope is misguided. Your joyful, confident, favorable expectation is in the wrong direction. Your hope is in the fact that you are lonely, or the reality is that you are lonely, and the hope is that you want a mate. And you ought to submit that to God and say, Lord, you bring the right person, and we're going to know it. I can't manufacture it. Oh, I've seen this so many times in my career as a pastor, you know, almost 40 years of doing this, and I've seen it repeated over and over. And people go down these roads, these rabbit holes, and they think their hope is right and their faith is right, but it's misguided because your faith is in the wrong. It's in a particular person when it should be on the fact that, God, you bring the right person into my life. And when I cross paths with that person, they're going to know it, I'm going to know it, and it's going to happen. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Your hope needs to be in the Word of God. So the end result of that story that I gave is that the guy doesn't get the job, right? I said that already, but he doesn't get the job when he's trying to put his hope on the management job when God wants him to, you know, become the president or maybe take him out of there and bring him to a better place. But because he's so focused on that one job, God can't give him the best that he has. So hope is never in things or a person. Hope is always in the Word of God. Does that make sense? Is that clear to everybody? Is that clear? So I don't hope for that. Now, if I have a desire for a specific thing, like that suit of clothes or that car or these kinds of things, well, those are your desires, and you can believe God because that's attainable. Right? You know, but if you try to use that with people, you know, men are not cars. You can't, you know, they're not on a showroom floor where you get to pick one out. Does that make sense? Women are not cars either, and you can't pick them out on a showroom floor. Your hope needs to be in the Word of God. I hope that helps. But you can believe God. You can believe God for a specific kind of car, and as long as it's within your level of faith, because that's another issue. Sometimes people try to believe God for things, but they're not there yet. So they put their hope like maybe you are, you know, you're hoping, you say, well, okay, well, I'm going to believe God for a Bentley. But you haven't even used your faith yet to believe God for a good used car. That's foolishness. That's silliness. Your faith isn't there yet. So why cast now? If you do want to do that, you could cast that a hope for some future time in your life. When you get to that level, when you get to that place, does that make sense to everybody? Trying to make this as simple as possible so that you can get it. So there may be a future date down the road, way, way down the road, because you got a lot of ground to cover. Listen, you know, I drive a BMW, But I didn't always drive a BMW. I drove a good used car. And then even that was a disaster, so I didn't drive a car at all for 2 years, and I just saved money and believed God and used my faith, and my hope was that I was going to get a new car. I said, Lord, I'm never going to drive a used car ever again. This is going way back in the 1980s. I said, I will never, ever drive a used car again. From this point in my life, I'm going to wait, trust you in faith, and believe you for a brand new car. And that was my first real faith operation, first faith thing that I believed God for. And 2 years went by, and I'm praying and believing, and I wasn't there yet. But I said, I'm going to get there. One of these days, I'm going to get there. I took trains, I took buses, I took cabs, I hitched rides. Not hitchhike, but I hitched rides with friends. I walked. I did whatever I had to do, and I kept saying, thank you, Lord, for a brand new car. My hope is that I'm going to be driving a brand new car. Now, I didn't be stupid and say, I'm going to, back then, you know, Cadillacs were big and sports cars, you know, whatever. I just said, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to get a brand new car. So 2 years went by and I had saved up some money because I was doing my part, right? So that's another thing where people really, really mess up. They stand in faith for things and they do everything in the natural to undo the blessing. No, really, I've seen this so many times, and I got to get into this because people think they're in faith, and they are. Maybe they start out in faith, but then they start to undo everything in the natural. So if you're believing God for a house, then guess what? It takes money to buy a house. And if your hope is that you want a house, then you're going to have to save money for a down payment for that house because houses aren't given away. They're purchased. And in all my years of pastoring and being in the ministry and being a Christian, I've never seen money show up at the front door in a big box. Never in all my years of ministry have I seen God deliver money in a box. Now, there might be some isolated stories, but they're far and few between. And I haven't heard any in my 40 years. So maybe you have, but that's not usually the way God works. So people thrust out a hope and then they get into, you know, start operating in faith, but they start undoing it because they don't manage their money. They don't save. They don't cut corners. They continue to live a lavish lifestyle. Their hope is out there. Their faith wants to accomplish it, but their actions of their life are destroying their faith and their hope. And faith and hope can't work because you're undoing your faith by your natural activity. One of the things that you got to come to understand, are you all with me? Am I losing anybody? Is everybody with me? One of the things you're going to have to come to understand as a Christian is that there's a natural side and a spiritual side. It's not all natural and it's not all spiritual. It takes the natural and the spiritual coming together and working together to produce what you need and you want in your life. And one of the things, I got to be really point blank honest with you, I've seen Christians do the most stupid, dumb things in my life. I really have. Just doing the dumbest things that they could ever do to mess up this beautiful faith and hope operation in their life by undoing the blessings because they have hope. They've got this joyful, confident, favorable expectation, and they have faith. But what they're missing is bringing that faith and that hope together, natural and spiritual. You got to do the spiritual, you got to do the natural.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.